This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hello, I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and welcome to the BBC Music Podcast. You can buy a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents or download our app to your iPad, Kindle Fire, or Android tablet. And for the latest music news and more, head to our website at classical-music.com. In this week's podcast, Reviews editor Rebecca Franks joins me in the studio to talk about the January issue's recording of the month, a disc of Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on a Theme of Thomas Tallis, his Symphony No. 3, the five variants of Dives and Lazarus, and the Wasps Overture, performed by the Halle Orchestra under Mark Elder, recorded on the orchestra's own label. This is a really stunning recording, isn't it, actually? The Fantasia on a Theme of Thomas Tallis, I think, which we'll hear an extract in a moment, is, I think, one of the most sort of eloquent performances of this piece I've heard ever, I think.
Well, I think what I loved about this CD was that the Halle Orchestra and Mark Elder just seemed to completely get Vaughan Williams's sound world, and especially the string sound. You know, it's very rich and fulsome, but it's not in this sort of high gloss kind of romantic way. It has all the kind of shadows in it and the real sense of depth. So it's not, and especially the Tallis Fantasia and the variants on Dives and Lazarus can often be a bit kind of wallowing in a sort of schmaltzy kind of way. But it's nothing like that here.
Well, the balance is so difficult to get, isn't it? You've got to get the tempo right. You've got to get the vibrato right. You've got to get the strength of the sound right. You know, and there's so much there. And of course, the whole sort of acoustics of the recording studio and the after effect. Because this piece was, you know, famously performed in Gloucester Cathedral with its massive sort of Norman acoustic. Let's hear the opening to it, and then you can sort of see what we mean.
Thank you.
that was the opening to the Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis by Vaughan Williams. There's a real sort of sense of space, isn't there, in this recording as well?
There is. I mean, the Fantasia on a Theme of Thomas Tallis kind of makes use of these divided, so you have the two string orchestras and these sort of antiphonal effects almost, or organ-like effects. So the kind of spatial aspect of it is really key, actually, for getting those different sort of different weight and the different sort of ghostly effects of the different sort of groupings. And that comes across brilliantly, you know, from when you have the full orchestra, full string orchestra, to the solo instruments. Everything has been really well judged and well placed, I think.
It has. And I have to admit, I have to confess before this, I had no idea that Vaughan Williams had intended the different string orchestra and the string quartet to sound like the different divisions of an organ. And in fact, I noticed that the quartet on its own did sound like the swell organ with the box closed. It sounded very distant, very sort of very ethereal and almost ecclesiastical. Very prayer-like, actually, and I'd not heard a recording that had delineated that effect quite so much.
Yes, it was interesting. I think Mark Elder talked about this idea of Vaughan Williams being a sort of mystical composer, and there is very much this sense of some kind of mystical quality, I think, that comes across here. And actually, there was a lovely quote from when after the piece was premiered, someone wrote in the Times that in this piece it's as if one is living in two centuries at once. Mm. And that kind of really sums it up for me, this sense of the past being very much in the present.
Yes, it's almost a farewell to the 19th century and a sort of a very, very soft greeting to the 20th.
Yes, but I suppose also in terms of the themes that he was kind of, you know, that he was using, taken from the English hymnal that he was working on, that I guess that's then translating that into a 20th century world.
Mm, but absolutely stunning. The heart of this recording, though, is the Pastoral Symphony, the Symphony No. 3. Usually I find it quite a difficult symphony to get into. It's four quite slow movements with sort of various faster passages, particularly in the third movement. But mostly it's quite introspective. But here it seems to shine, and I can't quite put my finger on why. I think it's the same reason the Fantasia on a Theme of Thomas Tallis shines. I think it's the luminosity of the strings. I think it's the tempos. I think it's just the general pacing and the phrasing. I think they just seem to get it.
Yes, I mean, this isn't a sort of elusive work, I think. And it was written after Vaughan Williams had been an ambulance driver and a stretcher bearer in northern France during First World War. So he would have seen and been, you know, had come to terms with so much suffering that he saw, and also the sort of destruction of the landscape. And I guess this is his musical coming to terms with that. I mean, he wrote it afterwards, but there is something of, I think, that feeling of maybe not understanding that makes it elusive, you know, not understanding what he's seen, and that's what makes it a difficult work, because he was contemplating something that no one had ever had to really grasp before.
And he didn't like to talk about his experiences, and this is his sort of outpourings, I think. This is, if you really want to know what it was like. It's unfortunate the symphony has got the nickname the Pastoral Symphony, because I think for so long people thought it was simply an evocation of the English countryside, and it was, you know, this symphony that caused people to sort of call his music sort of cowpat, if you like. So Peter Warlock saying it was like a staring at a cow looking over a gate, and Elizabeth Lutyens calling it sort of, you know, I think she used the cowpat term herself.
And actually here it's used written in a really ironic way, isn't it? Or in a,
yes,
you know, this isn't Beethoven's pastoral, this is 20th century war-torn pastoral.
And you hear that beautiful, which I think actually we should hear now, that beautiful sort of bugle-like trumpet in the symphony.
Thank you.
So that was an extract from the second movement of the Pastoral Symphony. And also there's a real sense of sort of inventiveness, I think, in sort of a pioneering use of soprano voice in the last movement. And it's so stunning, this sense that this is the voice maybe of the soldiers themselves,
or
the dead.
Or a mother, or a daughter, or whatever it might be. You know, it could be... It is very, very haunting, I think, that here, here it's quite strong as well. It's quite a rich voice. It's not sort of ethereal or ghostly as you often hear it done. But I like it. I think it works really well. I think it brings another dimension to it, actually, and kind of balances as well with what we, you know, the trumpet and the horn in the second movement. They sort of seem to play off each other, actually, as well.
Absolutely. And actually, to have the symphony sort of going out with that voice is actually quite devastating. Really, I mean, there's this. I think we're going back to the sort of tempos of the symphony. I think it's all too easy to take it too slowly, but when you take it too fast, and you sort of end up missing so much. And yet, it is a symphony that does reward patience and time. And
yes, it does. And I think it's a symphony that rewards listening to it many times. I think it's hard. I think it's quite hard. Personally, I think it's quite a hard work to grasp on a first listen, and you need to, it reveals more and more the more you listen.
So shall we hear an extract from the final movement of the Symphony No. 3? So that was the final movement of Vaughan Williams' Symphony No. 3, as played by the Halle Orchestra under Sir Mark Elder on our wonderful recording of the month. The other two works are equally beautifully done. The five variants of Dives and Lazarus, it's just extraordinary. I mean, the melody itself, which Vaughan Williams incorporated, the folk tune, which he incorporated into the New English Hymnal, or into the English Hymnal, is quite extraordinary and quite wonderful.
It is, and it's just... really kind of heartfelt piece. It just feels like, I don't know, sort of the soul of the countryside singing or something. And it really, what he does with it, these variants with the different sort of versions of this old, old folk song, it's just wonderful. It really is a sort of miniature masterpiece. It's not a long work, but it's so beautifully crafted.
It's almost as if he's sort of slightly restoring the tune rather than treating it to a whole new variation. You know, you always hear the tune there. It's almost as if he's sort of caressing the tune.
He's not trying to go, look what I can do as a composer. You know, look at me, I'm so great and I can write these great variations. It's not that kind of piece at all.
And I was delighted to know that the UK premiere took place just down the road here in Bristol in Colston Hall. A very beautiful work and played stunningly. Again, the strings just seem to, again, understand exactly what they're playing.
And lovely harp playing as well, because that really kind of just adds that extra sort of pastoral almost dimension to it.
So let's hear a bit from the variants of Dives and Lazarus. Finally on this disc, we've got the Overture to the Wasps, lots of fun, just very energetic performance, beautifully recorded. Actually, the recording is stunning. It's not in SACD or surround sound, but the stereo has got a certain sort of multi-dimension sound, isn't it?
Yes, and I think a lot of it, quite a few of the tracks, were recorded, tracks 2 to 6, in their sort of new home, new recording studios and rehearsal space in St. Peter's in Manchester, which I understand they're very much enjoying sort of taking up residence there.
And the Fantasia on a theme by Thomas Tallis was clearly recorded, because it was recorded in the BBC studios in Salford, was recorded, you know, with lots of sort of effects and edited and given the atmosphere of a cathedral, you know, without going into a cathedral. Very cleverly done indeed. Rather sort of masterful crafting, I think.
Yes, and actually it's lovely to know that they are planning to do the whole Vaughan Williams cycle. So we've already had Symphonies 2, 5 and 8 and the complete Wasps. They've already recorded the C Symphony. Next one is going to be number 6. So I think we've got a lot more wonderful Vaughan Williams from the Halle and Mark Elder to look forward to.
Lovely. Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast on the January issues, disc or rather recording of the month. Do join us next issue when we'll be discussing, obviously, the February issues recording of the month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.